Several weeks, I've tried to do a great deal of thought in the planning of sermons and lessons that will be presented in the future. And I'd like to take just a moment tonight to tell you a little more about that. I had a bit about it in the bulletin this week. Beginning tonight and going for several weeks, the Sunday evening lessons will be on the theme of the paradoxical way. Now let me share with you what I mean by that. Here are some of the lessons that I plan to preach in the next several Sunday evenings, not necessarily in this order. The way in is out. The way up is down. The way to peace is to fight. The way to joy is through suffering. The way to rest is to work. The way to wisdom is foolishness. The way to life is death. The way to cover up is to make bare. The way to invest is to give away. The way to win is to lose. The way to conquer is to submit. And during this series, of course, Brian will be preaching some, and I know he's working on one lesson that has to do with the way to love is to hate. We're going to be covering some very, very important subjects that deal particularly with the development of the right kind of attitudes as Christians. And this will take us through the rest of this year and into a part of next year on Sunday evenings. On Sunday mornings, after another week or two, with some lessons that I have particularly planned for 2 weeks, we're going to be bringing lessons, at least in part, that are lessons that you request. One of our young people handed me a note today requesting a lesson on a subject. A few days ago, one of the adults handed me a note or was talking to me and suggested a topic. And I want you to suggest topics and areas of thought that you think need to be discussed. And we'll work those into the Sunday morning lessons as we can. Beginning on the first Sunday of January, I'd like to preach through the Bible in 1990. I'd like to do it by asking all who will to read through the Bible in 1990, and we're going to do it in a way that you won't have to purchase any additional books, that you can just do it with the Bible that you normally read. I figured it up, and if we read 3 chapters every day and 5 on Sunday, we'll get through on December the 30th and have 1 day left. And what I hope to do is to, in the bulletin every week and maybe in the announcements, announce the chapters that we're reading that week. And out of those 23 chapters that we'll read on those 7 days, one of the lessons the following Sunday will be brought from either a text or an analysis of a chapter or a character study. The lessons will be varied, but they'll come from that section of the Bible in which we're going to emphasize reading through the Bible and preaching through the Bible in 1990. That should give us time to work in other lessons that need to be worked in promoting specific parts of our work and dealing with things that arise that we need to deal with and still be able to accomplish that. And I'm looking forward to developing these lessons. Some of them, I have the skeleton outline already developed. Some of them, I'll be developing from scratch. As my mother says, from the stump. That's what she makes biscuits from, the stump instead of scratch. We're starting at the very beginning. And I'm looking forward to going through this series of lessons. And I hope you'll keep these in mind. And particularly, if you have a lesson that you would like for us to include, give it to me. If it's one that's fairly easy, I'll deal with it. If it's not, I'll give it to Brian. And he can preach it on the time that he's supposed to be preaching. Tonight, as we begin this series of lessons on the paradoxical way, we're dealing with the subject, the way forward is backward. I remind you of the lesson that we had this morning. For those of you that were not here, we talked this morning about getting our second wind, like the athlete does when he's running in a race. And emphasize that that has to come from within and that we really are interested in going forward with enthusiasm and energy and commitment and dedication. The Bible emphasizes that we want to go forward. I think we all agree that we probably never really stand still in any way as far as growth is concerned. When we stop and start standing still, we tend to go back. If you're going up the hill in a car or on a bicycle or whatever it is, when you stop pedaling or feeding the gasoline and try to just sit there, if you're not careful, you begin to ease back. And that happens to us in our spiritual lives, in our service to God. We are interested in going forward as individuals, as the congregation of the people here at Henderson, as the church as a whole across the land and across the world, we're interested in going forward. Paul put it something like this in Philippians 3:14 and 15, along in those verses. He said, reaching forth to the things that are before, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, he had said that there are some things in the past that we need to forget. And he was talking especially there about forgetting our mistakes when we overcome them and when they are forgiven and learning from those mistakes. But then he emphasized especially we need to reach out. We need to reach to those things that are before. And then he said we need to press. That means we need to go forward. We need to press toward that mark, toward that goal that is there. The Bible has a lot to say about the growth of the church, both in quality and in quantity. In Acts 16, verse 5, for example, the Bible says that the churches were established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. There is your quality growth and your quantity growth. And the idea that is presented there is that there is a need of growing and going. Growing in faith and going forward in the Lord's work. The idea is presented throughout the Bible that there is to be personal growth, that we are to mature as Christians as we grow from day to day. Starting out as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2. But learn by reason of use to take the strong meats of the gospel described in Hebrews 5:12-14, to where we're able to grow and we're to mature, to where we become men in the faith and put away those childish ideas and grow up and stand up in the Lord's kingdom. There are just so many passages in the Bible that teach the idea of going forward. And that ought to be the goal of each individual Christian. It ought to be the goal of this congregation as we look to finish this year and to begin 1990, to begin a new year, to begin a new decade, and to get closer than we probably thought about to a new century, just a little over 10 years from now. We need to be looking at the idea of going forward and growing. How are we going to do that? I suggest to you tonight that if we're going to go forward, and really we've got to go backward. Oh, I don't mean sliding back in the work. I don't mean backsliders. But I mean going back in history to find those things that give us the foundation on which we can build in order to go forward. And unless we have that foundation, we'll never go forward in the right way. It's possible to build a house without the foundation. Without a foundation at least being on the rock, and when the winds come and the rains come, as we sing with the little boys and girls many times, that song about the wise man and the foolish man, that house falls because it's not built on that strong foundation. And that's the way it is with the house of God's work and our idea of going forward. We'll never go forward in a way that will stand and last until we turn around and look back, not to our mistakes which we've been forgiven, not to rest on our past accomplishments, but to go even farther back than that. I want to suggest to you tonight four or five ways in which we've got to turn and look back to gain that which is necessary to spur us on to go forward in the Lord's work. Number one, we need to go all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2 for our Creator and for the cause that is behind us, behind the human race, behind everything that exists today. We can go back all the way to Genesis 1:1, where the Bible begins by saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And come on into that second chapter where he talks about what he does for us. And in both those chapters, see how he made man in his image, giving us the very nature of God in many ways. I suggest to you that no group can ever go forward religiously until they go back and accept that fact. Those who are trying to come up with some other cause behind the fact of man's existence today are never going to go very far. Look at what's happened in our country, even in areas associated with higher education. Usually it's on the very same campuses that we see the riots and the immorality, where the teaching is in the classroom that we came about by accident or by evolution, instead of having been created by our Heavenly Father. I know sometimes we tend to think that we understand this and there's no need of discussing this, that all of us understand it, but folks, we need to be reminded again and again that God is our Creator. Because it's only when we go all the way back to Genesis 1 and pick up God as the cause behind the effect of everything that's in existence today that we begin to build that sound foundation on which we can go forward in the Lord's work. Number two, we need to go all the way back to Calvary to find our Savior. There are those who are not looking in that direction today. There are those who are looking to the scientific laboratory to find their Savior. There are those who are turning to the high technology in today's world to find some type of Savior. And it is more widespread than any of us would even like to admit that many today are looking to themselves, particularly in the doctrine of secular humanism, and areas associated with that to find their Savior. If we're going to go forward, we've got to turn all the way back and go back to the cross to find our Savior. In fact, the announcement of that Savior was made even before the cross from the city of Bethlehem itself. Unto us a Savior is born. And then when that Christ grew up and died on the cross and shed his blood on that cross, it's in that blood that we have our redemption. It's in that blood that we find the remission of our sins. Ephesians 1:7 and 1 John 1:7 and related passages. We'll never go forward in the Lord's work until we go back to Calvary for our Savior. Perhaps we need to preach more about Christ than we do, and talk more about Christ than we do. And I certainly do not mean by that, as you know and as you'll see even in the latter part of the lesson tonight, that we are to do away with any of the guidelines that are in the Bible. I'm not saying let's preach Christ and not preach the church. Let's preach the man and forget the plan. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that even the church itself has no meaning, and the plan of salvation would not be real were it not for that death of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And so tonight, if we're going forward, we must go back to the cross to find our Savior. Number three, we need to go all the way back to Pentecost for the pattern of the church. For it was on that specific Pentecost described in Acts 2 that the church became a reality, the church which had been in prophecy of the Old Testament and in the promises of Jesus while he was on earth became a reality on that day of Pentecost in Acts 2. This idea of first century Christianity is real. And the idea that we need first century Christianity in the 20th century and we'll need it in the 21st century just a little over 10 years from now is real. Because unless we go back to that Pentecost and the events surrounding it and especially the events that followed it, we will not be able to be the New Testament church and to work as a part of the real body of Jesus Christ. There's where the pattern is. Not in any book that man has written. Not in any creed that has been established in a written way or orally, but back to that establishment of the church there on Pentecost. And I would hasten to add, while we go back there for that plan and pattern for the church, that we need to look long and hard at the early history of the church there in the first few chapters of the book of Acts to see the enthusiasm and the dedication and the work and the growth pattern that we need in going forward. How many congregations do you know today? It started out with 3,000 and shortly had 5,000 men. And just a little while after that had so many becoming Christians that the number was not even given, but it said that they were added to the Lord as multitudes, both men and women. The greatest growth that can be found anywhere in the Lord's church is found there. And we need to turn around and go back and analyze the church as it began and understand the kind of people that were involved and the attitude that they had and the way they reached out to preach the gospel and the way they reached out to help take care of the needs of people. I suggest to you tonight that even though many people have written some great books that have been helpful in many ways, that there's never been anything written that tops the story of the growth of the New Testament church in the book of Acts. And for us to go forward, we've got to go back to that Pentecost. For the pattern in the establishment and in the growth of the New Testament church. And then in the fourth place, we need to go back to the Bible to find the way to do anything that needs to be done today. So many are talking about modernization, bringing things up to date, finding something that is new, finding a new way, a new program, a new approach. And I'm certainly thankful for all the discoveries that have helped us, particularly in methods of carrying out God's will. But as far as the plan of doing anything, we've got to go back. Not ahead to the future, but back to the Bible, to where God has given us the plan. How does one become a Christian? Let's go back to the Bible and find out and teach it. How do we worship? Let's go back to the Bible and teach what was appropriate then and has been appropriate down through the years and is today and shall be in the future. And though our customs may change in how we go about carrying out God's plan, we've got to go back to the Bible for that plan of worship. We need, oh how we need today, to go back to the Bible for God's plan for the home and for the family. Nowhere else can we find a more solid foundation described in how we are to develop and maintain relationships in the family circle than in God's will itself. We need to go back to the Bible to see how to live as citizens. God's book addresses that, gives us the basic principles of Christian living. Back to the Bible before we can go forward. And in the fifth place, I suggest that we've got to go back to Christianity for our hope. Sometimes we allow ourselves, because of the great strides that have been made in communication and transportation and in technology and all of these areas in life, to allow ourselves, perhaps without realizing it and especially without admitting it, that we're going to seek within ourselves and find all of these ways that we can do it. We can take care of it. Folks, we've lost it if we ever begin to trust in what's happening today apart from what happened back there. When we go back to the beginning for our Creator, to the cross for our Savior, to Pentecost for the pattern of the establishment and maintenance of the church, and to the Bible for the plan of doing things, we're going back to the system of Christianity for our hope. That's the hope that keeps us from being most miserable in this life. 1 Corinthians 15:19. That's the hope which is the anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6, verse 19. That's the hope that is present even on the day of death and after. Because that's the hope that death itself cannot remove. To where we're able not to grieve and sorrow as others who have no hope, but to look death itself square in the face. And not be afraid to cross that river of death, because the shepherd is with us, because there is hope of something that is beyond the grave. But let me tell you, we won't find that hope in something that's established in 1989 or something that's going to be discovered in 1991 or 2001. That hope comes by going back to the system of Christianity that had its beginning at the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes, as a group of God's people, we want to go forward. We want to be progressive, if we understand what we mean by that word. We want to mature. We want to press toward the mark that is ahead of us. We want to be established in the faith. We want to increase in numbers. But I say to you tonight, the way forward is backward. Back to God as our Creator, the cause behind it all. Back to the cross for our Savior, where Jesus died. Back to Pentecost for the church that death made possible. Back to the Bible for the plan of doing everything. And back to Christianity for our hope. There's where we'll find what's necessary to go forward. That's why we say the way forward is backward. And though it is a statement of paradox, that idea of paradox means that something seems to contradict, but it's nevertheless true, and this is true. The way forward is backward. And tonight we would point you back to the Bible to become a Christian, back to the Bible to be rededicated as a child of God, back to the Bible for the way to do anything that needs to be done. In fact, there is no way that you can become a true New Testament Christian without going back to the Bible and doing it God's way. This Bible still teaches, just like it always has since Christ died on the cross, that we must believe in Him, be penitent of our sins, confess that faith, and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. And it still teaches, when we turn back to this book, that when we go astray, God will forgive. What a wonderful promise. But He forgives when we are penitent, when we confess our faults, and when we pray to God. The way forward as an individual Christian is to go back and do things God's way. If you need to be a Christian tonight, if you need to come home as a child of His, the way forward is back to the truth. And based on that truth, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.